Job in the 33rd chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. Job chapter 33. Thank Brother Butler for those songs that we sang together and his leading them. Good to see Tanner and Melinda Craig tonight. We say that name together. And so we're thankful that they're here and that they have been united. And we're grateful and thankful for that and praying for a blessed life together. In the book of Job, in the 33rd chapter, I'd like for you to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you take note of the phrase, the breath of the Almighty gives me life, you might want to underscore that phrase. Then, if you would, take your Bible and turn back to the book of Genesis and the 2nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Genesis and the 2nd chapter, notice with me in verse 7, the divine revelation states, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." I've been made to wonder about the breath of God. The first moment that God breathed into his creation life, just exactly what was that moment like? When God made all things, you'll see that he gave animal life, and that's one thing. But then when you find that he breathed into God, into man, that's a defining moment, because not only did he give man the breath of physical life, but he gave man an eternal soul. So God created man, and God breathed into man life. Dust, as we read, became living. That which was dust became alive when God breathed into the nostrils of man. And now notice tonight, several times we can talk about the breath of God. And time will not permit us to examine every time, but let's notice a few. When we just look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 2, we identified the fact that when God breathed into man's nostrils, he became alive physically. But we want to also think about spiritually, life was given to man, and that's the great difference from the animal kingdom and man. Many times you'll hear people state that man is a part of the animal kingdom. I beg to differ. Man is different than an animal because a man has an eternal soul. He has something that will exist for all eternity. When an animal dies, an animal, as much as you may love that animal, does not have an eternal soul. But man, or mankind, man and women, God has put a spirit in them that will last forever. So when I talk about the breath of life, I'm not merely talking about physical life, but spiritual life. And so man is here by the design of God. When you look at man and you see how man is created, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist said in the 139th Psalm. We're not here by some accident. We're not here by some big bang. But we're here because God breathed into the nostrils life. And we're here by divine choice, not random chance. It was God who formed Adam and did so in his own image and breathed into him the breath of life. And so tonight, if I could get that one thought into your mind, our time would not be in vain, and we could just close the lesson. That man was created by God, and God breathed into him not just physical life, but spiritual life, and gave him a soul that will last forever. But then secondly, I want you to take note of another time we read about the breath of life, and that comes in the book of Ezekiel and the 37th chapter. Will you remember in Ezekiel 37, you have the vision that is given to the man of the dry bones. And you remember he was in the midst of the valley and it was full of bones. I remember many sermons one could preach about the valley of dry bones. But notice at this time that God looks down at the Son of Man in verse 3 Ezekiel and he says, "Can these bones live?" Now my friend, you have bones. Bones by themselves cannot live. You can have a body, but a body by itself cannot live. You have to have breath. It takes bones, body, and breath to make one alive. And And so here, notice what the Ezekiel said. Ezekiel answered the Lord and said, "Thou knowest." He said, "You know, O God, I don't know about these bones, but you know if they can live." And look at verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." Now then, you can begin looking at verse 6, and you'll see where the sinews on you, and the flesh was brought upon them to cover them, and the skin, and He put breath in them, and they shall live, and you shall know that I'm the Lord. So it says in verse 7, Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. They're still not life. You can have a body, but without breath, that body's dead. But look at verse 9. "And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." Have you ever stopped to think about, my friend, that here is the word death, and the word that sounds very similar is breath, because without breath, that's what you have, a dead body. And notice here at this time, you'll find where there's no breath, there is death. And where there is death, there's no breath. But notice when God breathed into the life of those bones, it brought life. And that was a prophecy of Israel. Their future looked bleak. It looked like they may not survive. Yet God shows Ezekiel He can bring the dead to life. Bones indicate the funeral is over, that death has claimed the flesh. Dry bones mean only memories of the past, no future. But there's a term in the Bible that I've been using this year and we've been using this year that I'm fearful we don't use enough, and that's revival. In the 85th Psalm in verse 6, David prayed, "Revive me again." Revive us. And revive, it means to relive, to see things alive again the way they once lived. Revival is bringing back into order and life the thing that we have allowed to die. Spiritually, a local church, if it's not careful, can allow the breath to get out of it. And what we need is to notice that God can bring life even to that which is dead. When God's breath of life is breathed, dust becomes man. When the breath of God leaves the man, it becomes dust again. Adam's body was dust before it became the tent that carried his spirit. Adam was created, became a living being, not a living doing. And then when he died, he goes back to dust. Why? The breath had left. Now then, can these bones live? Have you ever thought about a local church? Could this church survive? Can this church grow? The next man you hire, when he comes in, will you work with him and be dedicated to help the church grow? And my prayer is that Eastside will grow and thrive and live. But that brings up something else. Open your Bible and notice, my friend, that the last breath of Christ brings eternal life. Jesus came to die for the sins of man. In Romans chapter 5, it gives the contrast between Adam and Christ. Whereas Adam chose sin, Christ chose not to enter into sin, but to offer Himself a sacrifice for sin. Though He was not to blame, He took our blame. So it is either your sin is with you, lying on your shoulders, or it is lying on Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, if it is on your back, you're lost. Only Christ, as we was brought out in our series of lessons by Brother May, can atone for sin. Isn't it interesting? It said, He breathed His last. But then I want you to look in the book of John in the 20th chapter. When you come to the book of John in the 20th chapter, Look, if you will, kindly at what is said in verse 22. In John 20, 22, you remember that he says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, he breathed on them, and he is telling them that they are to receive the Spirit to be guided into all truth. Now take that and look at what's said in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, notice that Paul, when he writes this epistle to the church at Rome, he starts in verse 14 by telling them something important. He said, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." You know what that gives us? Spiritual life. Who? When we have the Holy Spirit within us. How is He dwelling us? When we take the Word of God and allow it to lead us. Now, I want to take that. I want to ask three or four things in the lesson here. You know, my friend, if God's breath is not in something, it's dead. And a lot of what people call churches and call worship is not from God because it's not God-inspired. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, you remember when Paul was writing to Timothy, he told him about the Scripture. And you remember that he told him that all Scripture is given by inspiration. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me. Look at what he says in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that means? It's God-breathed. It's given. It gives life. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want us to think about, my friend, if it does not have life, it does not have breath, it's dead. There's a lot of religious organizations out here that look alive. They look like they're having a good time. They're doing a lot of things. But you know something, my friend? A mortician can make a dead body look better than it did when it's alive. A good mortician. And some people do that with religion. They make it look better, and they think they're making it look good, but they're not really alive. You ever been to a funeral and someone said, "Oh, don't they look natural?" Well, what they're saying is, don't they look good? They've prepared the body good. Well, I'll tell you something. People can make something look good, but it be dead. I've not been into everyone's houses, but I'll tell you, I've been into a lot of places. And I was like, when I go into a house, and they'll have 37 deer head on the wall. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. That's their thing. But I always like it because I look up at that deer, and to me, I just see it look like the deer didn't know where he was running and ran into the wall. But that fella, he looks at that deer, and he says, "Ain't that beautiful?" And I thought, well, when the rest of him was attached to him, probably, but he probably don't feel too pretty right now. He's dead. And you can preserve the head, you can make it look good, you can put in fake eyes, you can do a lot of things to make that head look good, but the fact is it's dead. The question I have for Eastside is, are we pretending to be alive, but spiritually we're dead? The church needs breath. It needs to be revived. It needs to be livened up. To be what God wants us to be. And we follow the Spirit of God through the Word. Because if you don't have breath, you have death. A local church with no breath is dead. One day, you and I will have no breath, as is taught in Ecclesiastes 12:9, and we'll die. And the flesh will return to dry bone. But a local church can do the same thing. A local church can die. You know, sometimes we talk about preachers being dry. I had a sermon I used to preach. I preached one time. You ever thought an audience can be dry? Ecclesiastes, or in Ezekiel 37, well, he's preaching to a dry audience. You know what a dry audience is? An audience that doesn't care about the Word of God. Now, a preacher can be dry too. He can just be going through the motions. But what we need is for the local church to be alive. It doesn't matter, my friend, if it's 5 people at each side or 5,000 people at each side. We preach Christ and Him crucified. set the example. And if they don't come because they don't want the truth, that's on them. We do what we're supposed to do. You can't force people. And I'll tell you what we can do. We can live as Brother Brandon prayed and be the example. And then when our bodies die, where will our spirit go? You know what Paul said? The spirit goes back to God again. You remember, my friend, in 1 Corinthians 5 that there's going to be a day of judgment when the body and the soul will be reunited. And my question is, will you have eternal life with God or eternal death? It all depends if you've allowed the Spirit of God to lead you and dwell. What does it say in James 2? Where there is no Spirit, there's what? Death. If the Holy Spirit is not in the church, I'll tell you what there is. Yes, how's the Holy Spirit here? He teaches us and leads us to the Lord. He gives us the breath of life. And that, my friend, is what we need. To be spiritually alive in Christ. We need the breath of life. You know, it's interesting to me, all of us through this sermon have been breathing without thinking about it, probably. I know Sister Cookie has to be on oxygen, and I know Sam sometimes has to take the... We take breath for granted till you can't obtain it easily, don't you? And to think God could give us the very life, the very breath we need. And it's God who gave His Son so that we could have what we need. Not what we deserve, but what we so desperately need.